Welcome to the Invest Smarter podcast, where you'll learn about the power of building wealth through real estate and how you can achieve financial freedom through multifamily investing. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions, How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. Now, here's our host, Simon Castillo.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. I'm your host, Simon Castillo, and this is my opportunity to provide you with my best insights into the world of real estate investing, business, and entrepreneurship. And along those lines, so what I want to talk about today is understanding how you can have a W-2 job and grow your real estate portfolio doing both at the same time. And it's definitely not easy, but it is something that you can do. I'm going to provide you with 5 or 6 tips that I think will help you to do just that. So let's dive into it. The first tip is that you have to create what I call office hours. And I say that in air quotes, office hours, for your side hustle. Now, I'm going to use the term side hustle, but I really use that term loosely because I definitely believe that if you are trying to grow a real estate portfolio, that is running a business. You are in business. You are a real estate entrepreneur. So you may call it a side hustle because you have a full-time W-2 job, but in reality, you are running a side business. So the first tip is to set aside dedicated office hours for your side hustle. And I think this is really crucial because unlike your traditional job where you have typically a schedule laid out for you, and oftentimes you may have a boss or someone who is delegating work to you. When you're managing your side hustle, it requires a ton of self-discipline and focus on your own. So, you know, if you imagine that you're working your 9-to-5 and then transitioning into real estate investing, it's like switching gears from following a path to then blazing your own trail, so to speak. So for me personally, I know that when I first started out, I had to carve out time during evenings and weekends to analyze properties, to do repairs, to do renovations, to connect with potential sellers. So one trick that I used was blocking out breaks during the day, either lunch breaks or, you know, any other breaks I might have had during my workday, and especially in the evenings for real estate tasks. That helped me to stay on track and it helped me to make progress towards my goals. So setting office hours, I think, is going to be vital. You know, a lot of people will say that, well, I don't have enough time to do real estate. I think if you set office hours, if you take away, maybe it's 30 minutes at the end of your day, maybe it's waking up 30 minutes earlier, but you can find time. The key is going to be to block off that time and then focus on real estate related tasks during that time. So tip number one, create your office hours. Tip number two is to lean in on automations and services. So this tip is all about leveraging automations and services to help to streamline your workload. So, you know, if you're managing a full-time job and a side hustle, time is probably your most precious resource. And automations can range from lead generation services to hiring a property manager. And you may ask yourself, well, is hiring a property manager and losing all of that revenue worth it? And I think it's going to come down to, personal preference or what you have in your life that is important to you. So does having a property manager and the time that it frees up, does it more than make up for that lost revenue? That's really going to be a personal question. And I think for some, the answer may be no, but for others, it could be yes, because that time could be used finding other deals. So does the revenue acquired from other deals more than offset the revenue that you may be losing by hiring a property manager? Again, every situation is probably different, but I think you have to give that some serious consideration. Another thing is, you know, what are your high value items? So if you're spending a lot of your time around the house doing housekeeping work, landscaping work, that's a lot of valuable hours that you're spending doing what I call, you know, low value work. Now, personally, I have a housekeeper that comes around once a week, once every couple of weeks. I have a landscaper that comes around once every couple of weeks. And everyone's different. Some people may find that those kinds of tasks around the house are therapeutic. I know people who love doing yard work, and that's, you know, that's what they would prefer to do because it's therapeutic to them. So definitely, if that's the case, don't try to automate or eliminate something like that if you find joy in doing that kind of work. But for others that just see it as another task that needs to be done, is it worth spending a few hundred dollars to have that time back? Again, it's going to come down to personal preference, but spending a little bit of money on services like housekeeping, landscaping, bookkeeping, things that just take up a ton of valuable time, it could be worth the amount of money that you spend. If nothing else, just freeing up more of your time. Think about it this way. How valuable is your time? Can you put a dollar amount to your time? And if paying for services like these exceeds that or doesn't exceed that, then you know, maybe it's just something that you should seriously consider. So tip number two, again, lean on automations and services. You're not just delegating tasks, you're actually investing. I think you're actually investing in your own efficiency and your own growth. Tip number three is to be efficient and set boundaries. And I think the biggest boundary that we all struggle with is simply saying no. I know I have a big problem saying no. And I think one way that you can look at this is you're not saying no to people, but maybe you're just telling them, not right now. I think that's a great way of looking at things. And my personal experience has been, you know, when people want to have lunch because they want to pick my brain, or they want to have a conversation because they want to pick my brain, or they want to have a phone call because, you know, they want to pick my brain. What I tell them is, I don't have the time for that right now. But here's when our next meetup is. Our next real estate meetup is coming up in a week or 2 weeks or whatever the case is. Come on out to the meetup. I'll be there and we can have that conversation. That way, what I'm doing is I'm not turning them away. I'm not telling them no. I'm just telling them not right now. And I think that's a great way of looking at things and setting boundaries for yourself, because at some point you just can't do everything. You can't talk to everyone that wants to talk to you. You can't do everything that needs to be done. You have to set some boundaries. And especially true when you're balancing a full-time job and you're trying to do real estate, it's all going to become just challenging and overwhelming at some point when your plate is so full. So it's okay to set boundaries, prioritize tasks that truly move the needle. So again, tip number three is be efficient, set boundaries, know what you can realistically handle, and be honest about it with yourself. And this does apply to both your work and your personal life. As entrepreneurs, you have to protect your time and your energy. When you're thinking about efficiency, it's not just about getting more done, but it's about doing the right things that drive results. Moving on to tip number four, avoiding burnout at work and in your side hustle. I think this is also a very important tip because it hits close to home for many of us feel burnt out. If you're working a W-2, full-time W-2 job, I'm sure you have moments where you just feel like you're just done. You're burnt out. And I've been there myself, you know, juggling multiple projects, feeling overwhelmed. Burnout can sneak up on you, or it can feel like it's always there with you, and it can affect your productivity and it can impact your mental health. So it's very important to prioritize rest, relaxation. You have to have a point in your life where you can turn things off, you know, turn your phone off, turn off notifications, don't look at email, you know, embrace moments when you can just have some silence. You know, burnout is most often the result of just constant stimulation and not giving ourselves a chance to recharge, to fully recharge. You know, we all have weekends, but how many of us carry our phones around with us on the weekends or after hours? You know, if you have a W-2 job after 5 p.m., are you still carrying around your phone and looking at emails or text messages? And I think it's a misconception. You know, we often think of burnout as a sign of a weakness, but it's not. It's really more about working smart and recognizing when you need to step back in order to move forward effectively. Now, tip number five is don't leave your job until it's costing you money. And this is one that I feel hits close to home because I feel very strongly that there's so much content on the internet about, hey, get into real estate so you can quit your 9-to-5. And I think that's just so misleading in so many ways, because just because you invest in real estate does not mean that you are going to be able to quit your 9-to-5. Yes, people have done it. Yes, it can be done. It's not impossible. Nothing's impossible, but it's not as easy as I'm just going to invest in real estate. I'm going to acquire a bunch of properties and then I'm going to be able to leave my 9-to-5. That's just not how it works. So don't leave your job until your side hustle, until your real estate business is truly costing you money by keeping you tied up. So in other words, when you realize that staying in your W-2 is actually costing you money, that's when it's time for you to really sit down and start to think about, is it time for me to leave my W-2 and focus on real estate? You know, an example that I can give you just, you know, using some made up numbers again, say you were able to do a couple of flips and you made, you know, $50,000-$75,000 on a couple of flips and your salary is $50,000. Again, just throwing numbers out. So in that case, the only way that you could scale your real estate business and start doing six figures, you know, $100,000, $150,000, $200,000 from real estate activity is probably going to be by leaving your W-2 job. That's an example of, and a very simple example of how having a W-2 job is actually costing you money at that point, because you're not going to be able to scale your real estate activity and really generate additional income until you leave your W-2. Building a successful real estate portfolio takes time and effort, and it's about reaching a point where your real estate business has the potential to surpass your job income. So wait until your side projects are consistently outperforming your job earnings before making that leap. Don't listen to the influencers that are out there telling you that it's easy, telling you that you can just invest in real estate and leave your 9-to-5. Don't leave your job on a whim. Don't make an emotional decision. Don't get mad at your boss and say, I quit because I've decided I'm going to invest in real estate. Don't do something like that. It's all about strategic timing and ensuring that your real estate ventures can thrive without compromising your financial stability. So again, in short, when you transition from a full-time job to a full-time real estate investor, that should be a well-calculated move, well thought out and well calculated, and one that sets you up for success in the long run. So there you have it. I think those are five valuable tips that can help you to grow your real estate portfolio while still working full-time, and help you understand what are some of the things that you need to do as a full-time W-2 employee while also working to build wealth using real estate as that vehicle. Now, doesn't mean that as a real estate investor, you have to leave a W-2. Some of us may always be content having a W-2 and also being real estate entrepreneurs on the side. That's perfectly fine. Don't worry about what someone else is doing. Don't worry about what influencers are telling you. You may go to meetups and you may run into people and they may stand up and they may say, I'm a full-time real estate investor. That's great. And maybe the circumstances for them are different. Maybe the circumstances fell in their direction and they were able to take advantage of it. But being a full-time real estate investor is a journey. And that journey can take a couple of years. It can take 5 years. It could take 10 years. So don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't worry about what other people have done, but do associate yourself with those people. Do learn from those people, because there's some valuable experience that they probably have gone through that they can share some of that wisdom with you, and it can help accelerate your own journey. So, you know, whether you're in the early stages of your real estate business or you're looking to expand your portfolio, I think these five tips that we've talked about today can really help you to make some strategic decisions. So again, create office hours for your business, lean on automations and services, be efficient and set boundaries for yourself. And as you're balancing a full-time job in real estate investing, make sure that you do things to avoid burnout, both at work and in your real estate business. And fifth one, don't leave your job until you know for sure that it's costing you money. So there you have it. I think these are some valuable tips, and I'm sure that you probably know someone who's looking to get started investing in real estate. And I think a great way for them to get started is to listen to this podcast. So share this episode with them. And if you have a few minutes, you know, go on to whatever device you're listening to for this podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and a review. It helps us to grow the show, helps us to attract the type of content that you as a listener want to and need to listen to. Last thing is, if you are interested in investing in real estate opportunities now, you can head over to sastexascapital.com. And there we have tons of resources, white papers, ebooks, and a newsletter that you can sign up for, download. That gets you onto our email list and notifies you the moment that new opportunities become available. We have existing opportunities now as well. So sastexascapital.com is the best place for you to go and get started getting educated. So again, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode of the Invest Smarter podcast. This is Simon Castillo. I appreciate your time. And thanks again for listening. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the Invest Smarter podcast, the show that educates you so that you can take control of your financial future. Be sure to rate the show 5 stars and leave us a review. Make sure that you're subscribed so that you automatically receive the newest edition of the podcast when it's released. If you're interested in learning more about investing in multifamily real estate and taking control of your financial future, head over to our website, sastexascapital.com, and take advantage of our free ebook, Multifamily Millions: How Anyone Can Invest in Apartment Buildings. And be sure to sign up for our mailing list to receive exclusive investment opportunities straight to your inbox. It's time to invest smarter. That's sastexascapital.com.